This is Game On. With your host, Zeke Williams.
Game On!
Rocking the streets of Vegas, feeling good here on a Wednesday hump day. 3 o'clock standing tall as we move along. Is it Tuesday?
Tuesday.
It feels like Wednesday. Damn it. Screwed it up. Got to jump back in it. Plenty to get to today. You know, we kind of move things around. Like our clock, which says 4 o'clock. We're going to get a digital clock in here. Someday I'll describe our studio and I'll describe the others. But I'm actually finally comfortable in the studio. It took me about a month. It took me a long time to get comfortable in here. Never got comfortable in the ESPN studio. I was in there for 15 years. The Fox studio was home. Loved it. But this one, finally, it's home sweet home. It's kind of like a prison cell, to be honest with you. It's about that size. But it's nice. And we got plenty of things. We flipped the show around today. We will be doing a giveaway. I'll try that for you every day I'm here. The giveaway today, once again, the Rebs. Rebs open up the regular campaign Saturday at the MAC against Florida A&M. I'll have tickets in that final go-round. And if you remind me, it's up to you, Marcus. Otherwise, I'll forget because we don't have much time in those final 2-3 minutes. I'll tell you what the resolution would be if the NFL owners and the public want to see the players stop the protest. I'll tell you an easy solution to it. Very easy remedy, but I don't think it'll ever happen. Coming up at 3:30, Nick Hamilton, our L.A. insider, covers everything from the NBA teams out there, the Clippers, the Lakers, to the Chargers, the Rams, and anything else we want. The basketball team, we mentioned them, and the baseball teams, the Dodgers, Angels, whenever that season comes back again. Dope, we're going to move it up to about a quarter after. I want to start you off with what took place last night over at Twin Peaks. This is cool. Over there, you got to come by, folk. I'm not referring to the one on the Strip. I'm quite sure that one's cool. Never been there. And unless they assign me there, won't ever go there because I ain't paying $20, $25 to park on the Strip. Another story for another day. Twin Peaks on Eastern and Serene. You get off of the 215 and Eastern. You hook up going south, a block past Serene. I'm there every Monday night. Beautiful setting. The girls, awesome, the service. Not a bad place in the house. Once you walk in, you see the TVs, you hear them, the games are on. A celebrity who lives here that everyone knows, if I mention their name, was in there last night. At least 20 people came up to take pictures with this person. So I waited for my moment, and I went up and got the digits, the numbers. So I'm going to get this person on the air next week. I'm hoping to try. I've got this idea. You know me. My mind is out there. I'm wired inhuman-like. But I got a segment in mind. I want to put this person in our show on once a week. So next week, I'm going to invite them on the show. Hopefully get them in person, otherwise on the phone. I'll tell you in the break who it is, but I'm not going to name them right now. I don't want a snatch and grab to be happening in the building. Somebody else get them. But this person, you think I'm wired all wrong. You wait till this person bust open a mic. We might have to have the 7-second delay in hand. All right. With that being said, you know, I was talking with Matt Holt, the COO of CG Technology, those 8 different casinos in town with their sports books. And I was asking him, well, what teams, well, first we start with last night. It was a backdoor bad beat if you had the under in the game. That last touchdown scored by the Packers took the game over the total. So the total was like 43-44, somewhere in there, and it went over on that last touchdown. He said they only lost about the books, only about 20,000. I like that about Matt. He'll tell you what the number is. But in the end, they got beat on another bad beat, and if you had the under, you were really pissed off because I tell you, Lions laid a whooping on them. So I asked him, okay, which teams, first of all, in college, will hurt you on a future? In other words, if this team wins the national championship, all their places, their sports books, and everybody else gets hammered, them in particular. One is TCU, and the people got these numbers early. Now, TCU's big game is coming up against Oklahoma at Oklahoma this coming Saturday. Don't miss it. I believe it's 5 o'clock. That right there is a hummer. Georgia, How many times do you really think going into the early year, all right, this is the year of the Bulldog? You might believe it, but this is maybe perhaps the one year. I tell you this, Nick Saban ain't getting a lot of sleep at night. He's going to see him in the championship game. They're both 9-0 right now. By the way, Nick Hamilton and I, we're going to give our Power 6 ratings, both in the NFL and college, at 3:30 as well. The other team is Notre Dame. The Fighting Irish, who came off a lousy year last year, things have been turned around. And remember, their quarterback, who's in Cleveland now, he came out and ended up going to Cleveland. But if he's there, is this team 8-1 right now? Only lost first game of the year to Georgia by a field goal? Probably not. Sometimes change is good, even though it doesn't look as rich. But in the end, the results will show you that you're going to get a better payoff in the end, and that's what's going on with the Fighting Irish. NFL teams, Steelers, and the Steelers are, in my mind, kind of like the Carolina Panthers. I look at their record, and I'm like, are they really that? Like, I'm looking at Carolina yesterday, and I'm like, they're really 6-3, as lousy as they played and inconsistent all year. And the Steelers, the same thing. They were blown off the – somebody just blew them off the map a couple of weeks back, and then they look pretty good. Then they've got the weapons. I don't know if Ben Roethlisberger is really locked in 110 this year. That's their big question. The Steelers, one of them, and in case you're just now chiming in, Matt Holt of CG Technology, he's a COO there. He was giving me the futures that would hurt him. Notre Dame, Georgia, and also TCU, and in the pros, the Steelers, Kansas City, and the Rams. The Rams scare me, man. The Rams are mighty good, very good, and they just play hard. They've always had that defense. Fisher screwed them up. He was in the way of their success, and now that they removed him this past year, they got a real young, energetic guy in there. You're seeing the difference. Change matters. What matters in this world in the end is the payoff. No matter what you are involved with, there's got to be some kind of payoff. Our consultant tells us that all the time. Rick Scott, he's our consultant down in Tucson. And I love this dude. He's very, very bright, listens to every show, and he always talks about the payoff. Well, the payoff there is you got a new coach, you flipped it over. They're young like he is. They fight like he does. I'd love to be in their locker room, because I want to hear what's being said to them, because they are locked into one thing, and that's one thing only, winning football games. And this guy was, too, when he was the head coach with the Colts. And he's a super guy, a church-going man who fears God, and that's Tony Dungy. Remember when Tony Dungy was the coach of the Colts, and the one year his son, I believe his son was 19 at the time, committed suicide. And Dungy, that next week, he came and coached the team. They had a very good team that year. They didn't go deep in the playoffs, but that was the year I think they only lost one game or two games the whole year. Well, earlier this morning, and this happens to even the best of them, even a God-fearing guy like Tony Dungy, I thought about doing this when we were over on ESPN years ago when I was working with Mitch, and the idea was kind of knocked out. But I'm glad we didn't do it, and I won't do it now, seeing what happened here. The Dan Patrick Show earlier today, you've heard it on other shows. You heard people talk about it. But there's really only one show. Was it Eisen's show? Whoever show? Whose show was it that you pulled it from? Rick Eisen?
You know what? I can't.
Yeah, that's who you got it from. Anyway, he – yeah, I apologize. He – every other show read the quotes. I saw this morning on SportsCenter. Tony Dungy on Dan Patrick, and what I was referring to was during the show, you take a break, maybe a 4 to 6 minute commercial break, but in the middle of the break, you come back to the show. I thought about doing that here on one of our shows. And for maybe 30 seconds, you're just talking live, right? But you know the mics are open. You're talking about something. Then you go back to commercials. Then you come back to your show. Well, Dan Patrick does that. And he did that with Tony Dungy sitting there. And Tony Dungy had no idea that they had came back from a commercial in the middle of a break, and he was talking about Jim Irsay, the owner of the Colts, about, Andrew Luck. their franchise, who just signed a long extension. This is really bad, folks, in the wrong sense. Not badass. This is awful. Give a listen.
The Andrew Luck situation, though.
I don't know what's going on there. I really don't. And is he going to play? Jim Irsay made a comment about 6 weeks ago. You know, it's inside his head now. And then now you're hearing that this has been 25 months. And
it's inside Luck's head?
Yeah, he said that. When I was up there for Peyton's ceremony.
Wow. I wonder if Andrew Luck's future is in Indianapolis. I really do. I wonder. But you have Irsay saying he's going to be ready week one. So somebody wasn't telling somebody the truth.
That's what I don't understand now. And they obviously believed it because they did nothing to prepare for him not being there.
All right, that was from Rick Eisen's show earlier. He caught the clip and played it. Everyone else is reading the clip, but my dog over here, Marcus Laverne, found the clip. And I wanted you to hear it. It has more power to it when you hear it as opposed to me reading the quote. No, that happened on his show today, and I guarantee you Tony Dungy had no idea they were back on camera live. And you could tell by watching it, he didn't know. Dan Patrick knew. Okay, what's up with you, DP?
I wonder who controlled the mics in that situation. Oh. But it's cool because Tony Dungy was asked about it after that show, and immediately he says, I mean, it wasn't supposed to be a private conversation between me and
it was supposed to be, right?
No, not between him and the Colts owner. That was in public.
So he knew he was saying it's over?
Right.
Oh.
Right. And then there was a commentator, I think this was CBS Sports, and he made reference to multiple times where the Colts owner has said things are about Andrew Luck's mental more than the actual injury. And I don't agree with that. I think the injury is serious. And there's only so many times you could take an injury like that and not be timid when you come back onto the field. I mean, really a rough thing to say about anybody that's playing the game as hard as they can and gets a part of their body injured.
Man, give it a thought, though. You know, it's you don't really know how hurt a guy is. I've had my issues, okay, physically over the last year. Look, I've never been on pills before. In fact, I've taken myself off them. My body is not ready to take prescription pills. Okay, I put on pills, man. I'm like, and what pills do is they help the immediate problem, but then it jerks up some other part of your body. Now you got to get pills for that. And then before you know it, you're taking four or five different types of pills, seven a day. I'm saying to myself, what the hell? I'm not a pill popper. I don't enjoy taking pills. I don't like the results of them. And I took myself off them. I haven't told my doctor that yet. He'll be pissed. But I feel better now because I don't take the pills.
When I was a sophomore in high school, I got my wisdom teeth removed. And everybody does it. But they give you not Percocets. They give you
Dermatrol, whatever it is.
Lower tabs. And I took one lower tab. I think I got to take two lower tabs, and my mom was like, all right, we're doing ibuprofen the rest of the time. And that was it, man. Then I started using ice, and eventually I was healed. But you can't get stuck on medicine like that. It'll wreck your body.
Well, the thing is, once you start relying on it, it just becomes a part of your daily routine.
Right.
It's part of your daily diet. And before you know it, you're comfortable with it, but you don't realize what you're doing to yourself. You're destroying yourself, man. I could tell you that from my own results over the last year. Being on the pills, not anymore, buddy. All right? When I see my doc again, I'll explain it to him. He'll probably be pretty pissed off, but I'm sorry, man. I just I can't do it. It's just not me, you know? Some people are okay with it. I'm just not one of them. That's where I'm at regarding all that stuff. When you, I will say this though, and I'm not knocking anybody that takes pills because sometimes you have to have them. If you have a mental issue, you have to have it. There's something wired in your brain wrong. Okay, it's just you. You need some help. You need some assistance. You didn't make yourself that way. That's the way you were made when you were put on this earth. So I forgive you, man. I mean, I just don't want to be a part of that team. I'm sorry. I saw what it was doing to me. Okay, it was just changing everything about me. My physical being, my attitude, it changes you when you're taking pills on a daily basis. It really does. So be careful. If you're having issues with that, see your doc and let them know, hey, look, if something's going differently, you got to find me something else, or I'll go into the dispensary where it's legal. All right. Enough of that. Lighters up, baby. Time for some dope.
And I've been saving for a special occasion.
Looks like a quarter pounder, man. Let's the blow.
Hey, be careful with that, man.
Is it heavy stuff, man? Will it blow me away?
It's time now for, man, that show is dope.
316 in the valley. Lighters up. Pass it. This is a good day for these two franchises in the NFL. One is the Minnesota Vikings. Teddy Bridgewater. Remember that? That final play in the preseason was last year, I believe, the final preseason play. It was not a non-contact play. And he blew his leg out, blew out his ACL. To the point where they didn't think he'd ever play again, and he may have problems walking, he may lose the leg. Well, you go through that, you go through a lot of hard work of rehabbing. Today, Teddy Bridgewater is back on the field in practice for the first time since then with the Minnesota Vikings. God bless him. And this dude, and I have to admit, the last time we saw him, I called him a jerk. Young, I believe he was 24 at the time. Josh Gordon, I call him Flash. He is the absolute, in my opinion, the best receiver in the NFL. Okay? Josh Gordon hasn't played a game in the NFL since 2014. He's 26 years of age. He's missed 51 games with Cleveland and 55 contests because of his struggles with substance abuse. He told, I believe it was USA Today, I could have that wrong, but he told someone in an interview that he had issues, that before every game, he would smoke weed and drink alcohol before every game. So he went out on the field lit, okay? That would be like me coming in here every day before a show, drinking some alcohol and doing some weed and coming in here and just killing it, right? Which I never would do. But he's playing football against guys, and he said that since he was 7 years old, he's been smoking weed and drinking alcohol since he was seven. So the dude played 35 games for the Browns in all of 2012 and 13 and 14. Okay? He's back on the field in practice for the first time. The last time he got popped, I think it was on an airplane, and he's Instagramming himself smoking some weed. I called him a jerk. But I love this kid because of what he can do. He's the only guy in NFL history to have back-to-back 200-yard receiving games. He led the league in 2012. He posted 805 receiving yards, 5 touchdowns, and then appeared in this stardom thing where he had 1,646 receiving yards and 9 TDs. In 2013, 1,646, 9 TDs. And if you watch him run, he runs like an antelope. He's got the longest stride in the NFL. When you put a guy like that on the field and you watch him run, if they're running up against nobody, it looks like they're galloping and they're not running so fast. You put two guys on each side of him, give them the angle, and they won't even sniff it, okay? It'll be elbow and ass. That's all they'll see because he is a blur. So back on the field, Teddy Bridgewater and Josh Gordon. And he will be my favorite receiver. I wish I was in a fantasy league. I'd pick him up right now. Both on the field, back for the first time, for two different reasons. Dope.
No doubt about it. And really liked Teddy Bridgewater.
That was a long hit, wasn't it?
That was a great hit, but it was long. It was great, though. And Josh Gordon, I'm excited. I'm excited to see them both back on the field. Kind of not super young anymore, but I think that their minds have probably matured and their bodies have matured to a level that they're going to be real stars in the NFL. And sticking with the NFL, my boy Juju Schuster probably finally got his driver's license. For some reason, just didn't get around to getting it at 16. He's been riding a bike, probably how he stays so fit. Been riding a bike back and forth to the Steelers training facilities and got that jacked recently. But finally went out and got his license. And just hope, and he's 20, by the way. So just hoping that he stays safe, stays out of trouble. When you get a car, I remember when I turned 15 and a half and got the permit. And you were driving with, and you felt cool. You had your first ride. And I hope that at 20, it's not the same, but he's, you know, he's a baller now. He has money. He has all types of people trying to get him in trouble and keep him out of trouble. So I hope he stays safe. Congratulations. Getting your license, even though you're 20 years old and getting off the bicycle. Pretty dope.
That is dope, man. I love this kid, too. You know, so you got Brown and Martavius Bryant, who's the head case. And I was telling you this before the game. I think Martavius Bryant could probably be the best of those three, even better than Brown. However, he's a problem child. Me. I want my reps. Okay, well, hopefully he's on the practice squad now, so he's not going to see any minutes. He was last week. I don't know if the Steelers have him there now, but sometimes, man, you just got to straighten up things in between your shoulders. And good for this kid, though, Juju. Honk that horn, get you a girl, and have a diamond in the back, sun rooftop, dig in the scene with a gangsta lean, dog. Ooh, ooh. All right, this one right here, a different kind of dope. Not so cool. When in China, you do as the Chinese, right? And one thing you don't do in China is you don't take stuff that ain't yours. Their surveillance over there is about as good as ours here in Vegas. We're supposedly number one in the world for a city that has more surveillance cameras than anywhere else on the planet. Well, Beijing does too. UCLA's over there. They're going to play a game coming up this week. Now, what happened was three of their players, one of them, Jalen Hill, Cody Riley, and yeah, LiAngelo Ball, LeVar's son. The second coming of UCLA Bruin guy, right? After Lonzo. They're in China and they're shoplifting. And they got popped. This happened yesterday morning, sources say. Now, UCLA did not release any details. They're aware and they're cooperating with officials locally there. This right here cannot be good. They have a game lined up November 10th against Georgia Tech on a week-long trip. Police reportedly also requested several Yellow Jackets players at the hotel, too, and they're checking on them. Here's the thing, and I despise thieves, period. I don't care if it's male or female, because I believe this. If you take something from somebody, whether you're better off or not, you're a thief. You've probably done it before. All right, I'll confess right here on the door. When I was a kid, we didn't have much, okay? I stole potato chips, soft drinks, candy, because we didn't have any money when I was 8, 9, 10 years old. But I wouldn't take anything from anybody today. I don't have to. I mean, I earn my living. I know it was wrong. Believe me, I am not happy for being a thief when I was a kid, but I did it to survive. These guys have money, especially Ball. You know he's got money. So what are you doing? You're taking it because you probably want a little street cred with your teammates, or you've done it before, or a combination of both. But you got some street cred now. You might not get out of there without your parents, all three of you, paying a lot of money. And believe me, we'll grow out of it. However, it's a stain that hurts, and it doesn't make us look bad over there in that country. All three of you are pretty big dopes.
Yeah, I always... And it goes along with all kinds of illegal activities once you get into the top tier, the collegiate level or the pro level. It's like, you guys are set up. All you got to do is do your activity, keep your head on straight, and show out, and nothing can go wrong. Yeah, he's set up to be a star at UCLA, make it in the NBA. His dad has a whole show, a whole shoe brand. It's just, his dad has set them up. And although people may say that LeVar is not, you know, a dude they want to be around, he's done everything he can for himself and his family and his kids. And to go out and squander it like that, you are a dope. Straight up, you're a dope. Come on, fix it. Fix it. Awful. Sticking with the NFL. Oh, sorry, going to the NFL, going back to the NFL. I always liked Johnny Manziel at Texas A&M. I thought that he was unorthodox. I thought that his ability to scramble and make moves out of the pocket was cartoonish. I thought that it belonged on NCAA. You remember when they had the video game?
Yeah.
And I always thought he was going to... I always thought he was a dope college quarterback. Kind of didn't expect too much from him in the NFL. And as we saw, he slipped through, got into some bad habits, and really didn't do too much for himself. But news has surfaced. The guy's engaged to an amazing-looking woman, an actress. And they were shown in Maui recently, chilling out on the beach. Johnny Manziel's prepping for Canadian football, has all the intentions of going back into a professional play in some sense, and looks good, says he's sober, says he's healthy, says it's all because of his girl, his fiance, who, by the way, I can't state it enough, she's amazing, freak. Let me get her name real quick, freak. Have you seen the pictures?
No.
Yeah, you might want to check them out, freak. Brie Tiesi. I hope I'm not butchering that because it's a beautiful name for a beautiful woman. Johnny Manziel is a very lucky man. Anyway, Johnny Manziel getting it cleaned up, you know, sticking to a more wholesome life, and still, you know, doing his best to get back into some professional football play. Seeing him in this stage in his life doing his thing, to me, is pretty dope.
That is pretty dope. You know what you are? You are a pervert and a freak. You know what I am? I'm a limo riding, jet flying wrestler, and I can tell you right now, tonight, yeah, I'm going to be a
fucking day off, I tell you. Woo, it is Rolex time, Tony Blanchard. So don't be bringing on one of those Mickey Mouse watches and trying to impress the world. They like jet airplanes. Woo! They like long limousines. They like fine clothes. They like lovely ladies. And in Studio 54 a week ago, woo, I tore them all down. You understand? The best looking man. The best dressed man. Long limousine. Jet airplanes. Custom made clothes. And any woman in the world I want. Just like that. They all want to know what's causing all this. You know what it is? Intensified beef products. Yeah. You're talking about all men. Ric Flair. Yeah. And this studio looking at a guy out here hollering my name when last year I spent more money on spilled liquor in bars from one side of this world to the other than you made. How can you possibly expect to be the world champion with a body like that? You have teeny weeny arms and those skinny weeny legs and that so turkey looking neck. And I'll tell you this, I'm not changing my lifestyle. I'm four or five women every day of my life. And in Chicago, the night before Starcade, I'm going to run wild all night long.
Woo! There he is! Yes! Woo! The Nature Boy! Tonight! Ric Flair, 30 for 30. 10 o'clock Eastern, so I'm assuming 7 o'clock Pacific on ESPN. I will not miss the 30 for 30 Nature Boy with Ric Flair. Cause I'm in limousines, I'm riding, I'm jet flying. All the spirit licking bottles, woo! He is badass. So you know what I have to admit? Unfortunately, I was into so many other things, baseball and girls, when all this was going on, and I didn't watch Seinfeld. I don't care for missing that, but I do care for missing wrestling. I will not miss this tonight. Ric Flair, Nature Boy, dope.
Man, I was, when I think back and being a kid, and I'm still a kid, but being a real child, I was into wrestling but not as big into it as I could have been.
Right.
I knew a lot of the main names. I knew The Undertaker. I knew The Rock. I knew, all of these big names. But Ric Flair was not somebody I found out about until later in my adolescence. And I kind of wish that...
He was the best, dude.
Yeah.
I saw a little bit of him, but all the other guys, I missed them because I was in other things.
I was in other things, too. But now, now that we get the chance to look back and get highlights of his life and, you know... Thank God he survived what was going on earlier in the year when he got sick.
No.
Ric Flair, definitely dope
city, man. Nature Boy. Ooh! Woo! Woo! San Diego State, boy, they know what they're doing with their student body. All right, we're going to step away. Remember, final go-around, we do have the giveaway. The Rebels and Florida A&M on deck. Our L.A. insider, Nick Hamilton, NBC Sports L.A., on deck.
Now back to Game On with Seat Williams.
3:34 in the Valley, feeling good. Back on the streets of Vegas, rocking city. Marcus Laverne, he's got the ones and twos. Move out to our good friend in Los Angeles. He's got everything covered. He is our LA insider. Catch him the morning after Saturdays 8 to 10 on Dash Radio. He's also with the NBC Sports LA. Nick Hamilton, hey, dog.
What's going on, Pete? How you doing, man?
Doing great. I know you had a shoot earlier, so we shifted things around in the show, but it's good to have you. Listen, let's start with something right off the bat that matters to all of us football fans, and that is something that we haven't seen in a while, and it's a team in L.A. playing football in the NFL that's damn good. I'm talking about the Rams.
Yeah, the Rams are clicking on all cylinders. I mean, they have really, really bought into Sean McVay's philosophy. As we said time and time again on your show, they've already, his energy has already been infectious, but they have actually believed and bought in. And the great thing about Sean McVay, I don't know if you had a chance to watch the game on Sunday, but there was moments where when the defense would go in, Sean McVay would just completely walk away and let Wade Phillips do his thing and conduct his surgical procedure on the New York Giants through his defense. And so when you have a coach like that that really trusts his coordinator, and his coordinators understand the task at hand, then it's a match made in heaven, and that's why you're going to get the success that you have, and that the Rams are actually in first place by one game over the Seattle Seahawks in the NFC West. And if they continue this pace, I mean, they have a great opportunity this Sunday against the Houston Texans, minus Deshaun Watson. So the Rams can actually improve to 7-2, take complete ownership of the NFC West, and put Sean McVay in contention for head coach of the year.
I have to admit, I had no idea. We know Fisher wasn't getting it done, but it's a culture change all the way around. Okay, I'll give you an example. Chris Paul gets traded to Houston. Okay, Chris Paul leaves. J.J. Redick goes to Philly. They both talk about the culture problem with the Clippers, right? Now, Doc Rivers comes back and says, the culture generally starts and ends with the players. Okay, the coach does have a hand on that because a lot of times the players are like their head coach, right? Now, so we'll see what happens when Paul gets healthy. But in this case, there was a culture change, and it dealt with the coach. The coach now gone. You talk about McVay coming in. He's young like them. He's fiery like them. They've always had a stellar defense. Their special teams, I didn't know, was as good as they are. But the offense with Goff, Gurley running the football, they have every facet of the game that you need right now. And the other thing I think that really makes them important is they really don't care. They just want to go out and beat your brains out.
Well, yeah, I mean, they have a sense of pride where they know now they're believing in themselves. And with each win, their confidence continues to grow. But for Sean McVay, the one lock that he was able to pick was Tavon Austin. Because now you can have Tavon, because we didn't know what to do with Tavon Austin. Everybody said how much he was overpaid for his contract last year, which he did barely anything if that. I mean, he was part of the Milk Carton All-Stars. But now he's reemerged, and he's able to put him on jet sweeps. He's able to have him come on third down conversion sometimes and be able to really implement him into the offense. And so I mean, he's done a masterful job with Tavon Austin. I mean, it makes Tavon Austin like he's really earning his paycheck now. Like, I'm actually surprised.
I like it. Hey, now we're going to get back to the Rams because you got my text about the Power Six, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, all right. We're going to do a Power Six ranking in both the NFL and college from 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 in that order. But before we do, you being in L.A., we have to talk a bit about the other team in L.A. that no one's talking about. They came off a bye week. That's the Chargers. And Anthony Lynn, he gave them a surprise this past week. He gave them the whole week off.
Well, they needed it. I mean, Anthony Lynn realized, you know what, in order for me to get through to these guys, I have to meet them on their level. And so what they needed was rest. I mean, especially for Melvin Gordon, who's been battling, a foot injury. But the great thing about the Chargers by getting rest was that they got the addition of Denzel Perryman coming back this Sunday against the Jacksonville Jaguars, whom they're going to absolutely need this Sunday. And it also takes some pressure on the defensive side of the ball off of Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram. So now you got three solid defenders on that defense that can really do some damage. We're not sure right now how many snaps Denzel is going to be able to take. But I rest assured he will be suited and booted against the Jacksonville Jaguars.
All right, you're about ready to drop? I will go NFL Power 6, 6-5-4. And then I'll give you my 6-5-4. Then we'll go 3-2-1. Then we'll do the same in college. Who you got a 6-5-4?
All right, so number 6, I definitely have the Seattle Seahawks. I like what the Seahawks are doing. The addition of Dwayne Brown was huge for them, so I got them at 6. I have, obviously, number 5, I would have the Pittsburgh Steelers. It seems like they're trying to turn it around and start to come along now. At number 3, and it's probably going to surprise a lot of people, but I'm also looking at the Kansas City Chiefs.
Okay.
At number 3.
Okay, here's
my number 4. Excuse me, number 4.
Number 4. Yeah, my 6 would be the Steelers. And I know they're 6-2, but you weren't on earlier, but I said they kind of surprised me when I look up, like Carolina. They're Carolina 6-3, but I'm not believing in Carolina. The Steelers, I just believe they go where Big Ben goes, and I don't know if Big Ben's head is all into football this year, talking about I may retire, this and that, calling out teammates. I haven't seen that before. When a guy gets edgy like that and he's a quarterback, that's why they're so low on my scale. I've got the Steelers at number 6. Number 5, I have Kansas City, which is your number 4 team. They've struggled lately, but I still believe in Andy Reid. I believe in Alex Smith, too, because he threw his first interception in, I don't know, forever. And they've got a running game. They do everything. It's almost methodically, but they don't make too many mistakes. So I got them locked in at 5. And then number 4 is once they got rid of the problem, which he's doing okay in Arizona, Adrian Peterson. The Saints and Drew Brees standing in as lifters and throwing darts and dimes. Saints, I got at number 4. So you got Seattle, the Steelers, Kansas City. Give me your front 3 from 3 down.
The New England Patriots, obviously, are number 3. Okay. In my book, I mean, Tom Brady continues to find ways to roll. Number 2, I would definitely have the Los Angeles Rams, as we got to talking about. They continue to be on a roll. They're playing well. They're playing together on both sides of the ball, especially with the special teams. They figured that out. And then my number 1, hey, man, fly, eagle, fly.
They have to
Philadelphia
be.
Eagles and Carson Wentz are absolutely destroying teams. And with that trade that they made last week, I mean, it only made them even better and stronger. I don't know how much stronger you can get. I mean, unless they get Megatron out of retirement, I don't know how much better they can be.
Look,
I mean, this is the first time.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm saying this is the first time that they've had this type of record since 2004 when they went to the Super Bowl last. So who knows? Who knows?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Nick Hamilton doing our thing, NBC Sports LA. They've got Blount and Ajayi now. They've got two different running backs. They both run you over, but at the same time, Ajayi can run by you. So, my bottom 3 is the same as yours. And we didn't talk about this beforehand. The Patriots at 3. The Rams, You know what? I'm becoming a fan of the Rams. They won't be my favorite team. You know, my heart will always be with the Chargers, right? I'll always wear that boat on my back. And the Eagles have to be number one. They do everything right. Carson Wentz, to me, a 6'5", 240-pound linebacker throwing the football around. Very smart guy. You know, when they got him at first, I'm thinking, okay, yeah, they're building this guy up from that part of the country, right? No. The scouting report was dead on this dude. And they have everything defensively. They don't have to send everybody anymore because their front four package gives you enough hell. And their secondary's healthy right now, and they're getting it done. So the only thing we have different is you have Seattle in, I don't, and I have the Steelers in, and you don't. But other than that, I mean, our power rankings in the NFL are about the same, which is pretty cool. All right, let's jump to the collegiate side of things. Who's in, baby? We'll see that when we get off the air here in about 15 minutes. And this right here, we probably fluctuate a lot in this. Give me six down to three.
All right, so I got my number six squad. I would have to say it would be the Miami Hurricanes. I think they've definitely come on very strongly. Their defense is for real. I know they're still trying to figure out their identity somewhat on the offensive side of the ball, but they've been finding ways to get it done. So that would be my number six squad. My number five squad would be the Oklahoma Sooners. Baker Mayfield could run the table, get those guys back into the top four playoff picture, and we may be able to see a Oklahoma-Alabama playoff run, you know, playoff matchup, excuse me. So that's what I have at number five. At number four, I would actually put Clemson in there at number four.
All right. Listen, it's weird because Miami and Wisconsin were both on the bubble for who's in and who's not in at number six. They're both undefeated, all right? You look across the board, and the committee did them both injustice. They had Miami at 10 last week, and they had Wisconsin at number 9. So I put Wisconsin in at number 6. I put TCU in at number 5. TCU, we'll find out, because they play Oklahoma down in Norman. And you know Stillwater's run deep, brother. Oklahoma is my number 4 team. So obviously one of those teams are going to be blown off the map. They're both 8-1. And, yeah, that's my 6-5 foe is Wisconsin, TCU, Oklahoma. Yours is Miami, Oklahoma, Clemson. Give me your front three, 3-2-1.
Well, my front three, I have to put in there. I have to put Wisconsin at number three. I think they deserve it. I think they've pretty much been under the radar. I don't think they truly get the respect that they deserve. You mentioned earlier about them being undefeated, but it's not just them being undefeated. It's the fact that they're playing in a pretty much a very tough Big Ten conference. We saw two Big Ten schools fall this past weekend by large margins, I might add. So Wisconsin continues to move, to push it forward. Number two to me would be Georgia. And then number one would be Roll Tide, baby. Roll Tide, Alabama.
Yeah, we look the same there. I got Notre Dame at number three. And I'm not a
Of course you do.
Well, I'm not a Fighting Irish fan, but for them to flip their season like they did from last year to this year and to lose what was supposed to be on paper a better quarterback who's now starting in Cleveland, I've got them in at 8-1 at number three. Then Georgia, you and I both flipped them, unlike the other rankings. Georgia's number two and Bama number one. So the only teams that are missing there, you don't have TCU in, I don't have Miami, who barely got squeezed out, but pretty much we're thinking alike here on that. Hey, what else is going on? You heard about LaMelo Ball over in China, right?
Yeah, about that.
Oh,
I want to see what LaVar Ball has to say about this one, how he tries to spin this one, because I don't see how you can spin this one. And when you're that irresponsible, I mean, I'm sorry. I never rag on people's kids. You know, I kind of stay away from that because, right. You know, it's a very sensitive issue. Myself being a parent, I understand that, but hey, man, I got to call a spade a spade. This dude was an absolute idiot. How in the hell do you go to a country like China, of all places, to steal something? You want to go to communist China to steal something as tough as their laws are? You just think it's the coolest thing in the world, huh, just to steal something out of China and think you ain't going to get caught? You 6 foot 4. You don't think you stand out with a UCLA sweatshirt on?
Oh,
come on now.
Hey, he's shoplifting. We get him.
Come on, man.
They got him,
Come
too.
Come on, man. Yeah, oh, they got him and his accomplice.
Uh-huh.
Now, my thing is LiAngelo going to snitch? Because they're going to find out who's the mastermind of it all. And if it ain't LiAngelo Ball, is LiAngelo going to snitch? He doesn't have to deal with a whole lot of trouble. Because now this could turn into, and I'm not saying it will, but this is going to be a major incident for the university for when it comes to UCLA.
Well, I think what's going to happen to LeVar.
Oh, well, here's the thing about LeVar. This could be something that can really will bring some damage to the big baller brand, because now you have a guy who's already pissing off people in Laker Nation because he's thinking that his son needs to be shooting more shots, which he needs to stay the hell out of the way. Huh. And now you got a kid who he needs to focus on, like LiAngelo, over there stealing stuff across the world. So
yeah.
It's not looking too good for your man Puffy Knight. It's really not looking too good for him.
Wow.
But hopefully, you know, LiAngelo can bounce back out of this situation because he is a kid. He did something very stupid. And hopefully he can learn a very valuable and large lesson from this. And learn from the error of his ways.
Yeah, and you got to know you're being watched. I mean, they say Vegas has more surveillance cameras than any place else on the planet. But Shanghai, rather, is also a place where you don't want to mess around. So, listen, bro, it's been too long. We'll get you back up next week. Let the folks know where they can find you up on social media.
Well, you people can find me on at Nick Hamilton LA on Twitter and Instagram. I buy everything that I have, and if not, it's given to me as a gift, so you don't have to worry about any kind of scandals coming my way.
All right, Nick, you rock it, dog. Appreciate you.
Hey, appreciate you, C. Thanks a lot, man. Talk to you soon.
You got it. Nick Hamilton, NBC Sports LA, chiming in. We'll step away when we get back. Final go-round, Rebel tickets next.
Now back to Game On with Seat Williams.
.353 in the Valley Final Go Round brought to you by Reliable Banner at ReliableBanner.com. Okay, quick story on this one. NBA should have been in dope, but how do you get $18 million from the league, the association, and supply everybody with uniforms, and they're tearing? LeBron had it happen in the back of his. Ben Simmons had his happen. It's been five players that had their jerseys ripped, torn by very little contact. The league said, it's supposed to be 15% lighter so you won't sweat as much, the perspiration will go away. No, change them. You got this big-ass contract, and it's failing you right now, and it's making you look pretty bad. Fortunately, the five players are all Nike players. Okay, let's do it right now. Rebs, Friday, Florida A&M, caller number 18 at 702-365-9200. Rebel tickets, opener, Mac, Saturday. Thanks to Nick Hamilton, NBC Sports LA. Also, Marcus Laverne, I'm Seat William Folk. Chinstuck Logarts up high. We'll see you on the radio. More of the show, NBC Sports Radio 920. Game on! Game over!